And, you know, as I've been told, the panhandle's been on fire. It's brutal. And it's so much wind outside that people thought there was a fire here locally. We're like, nope, that's no fire here in El Paso. That's just the panhandle, the terrible wildfires blowing all the way in to El Paso. Adrian, it reminds you of that situation where you had the fires in Canada and they were blowing all the way into the Northeast a few months back.
Yeah, it's a really good point. It looked very, very hazy all day. And yeah, it was a real windy day. It was even colder today, Steve, unlike these past couple days where it's been like 70s, high 60s. You don't even need a jacket sometimes during the day. But today was a little chillier. So very interesting day here in the city of El Paso.
I'm with you on that one. You have a jacket or what do you got going on? You got
I got the quarter zip on today.
The 600 quarter zip?
That's right.
Nice. I love that. Ah, that's good stuff. Well, I've got the sport coat today. I'm rocking the sport coat and ready to go for 3 hours. We got a lot to cover. My son's got a baseball game in 2 hours that I'm probably going to miss. I don't know how they're going to play in this wind, but they'll figure a way to do that. That'll be good. Last week when the game ended, I got off the air at 7, got to the field, and as soon as I stepped on the field, the game had ended and they were walking off. And I was like, oh, I missed the whole thing. So, yeah, that's the toughest part about these 6 o'clock games. You know, yesterday would have been perfect, or actually Monday would have been perfect, or tomorrow would have been great because we're only on for 30 minutes. We've got a show from 4 to 4:30 tomorrow because of UTEP basketball. But unfortunately, Southwest Baseball doesn't care about our sports talk times. They schedule this around the times for all the kids. So, yeah, I just, you know, it's kind of a bummer because this is the last game until after spring break. I don't know. Adrian, maybe you and Alberto will finish the last hour, and I'll go head out to the ballpark and go watch a little 12U baseball today.
Let's consider it done. We got the last hour, no problem at all. There's no reason you should miss all these games, Steve. We could take over. There's three men here in the building. There's no issue whatsoever.
Nah, you think we're good?
I think we're definitely good.
All right, Alberto, you want to rock the last hour out with Adrian? What do you think?
Yeah, we're excited. I remember telling you, my dad, when I was growing up playing baseball, he loved those moments. Like watching me play was the highlight of his life during my time playing baseball. So definitely cherish those moments and go out there and maybe set up a game where you go live from his games.
We could do that nowadays.
Oh, man. Actually, this is a great idea.
So the crazy thing is this. That's doable because
I want to join.
We would broadcast the show from the ballpark exactly the way we would do one of our regular shows. We just set up shop right by the field and watch the game going on while we host sports talk.
We need to do this. This is actually this is a great idea. This needs to happen. When's the next game? When can we make this happen, Steve? We actually do need to make this happen.
Well, let me say this. Are you in town March 20th?
Yes.
I'm in town March 20th.
Ooh.
Now, is that tournament time?
But
I have to see if that's the tournament. Let me see the tournament schedule.
Oh, wait. So I'm looking at it right now.
Hang on. March 20th.
Yeah. I think we're off that day.
Yeah, that's the first. That's like the first four.
That's
19th
right.
And 20th will be the first four.
Man, what's the game after that one?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well,
are they playing the 27th?
Let's see. 27th. Yeah, 7. Oh, no, but 7:45. It's a late. I can make that one. All right, we'll have to work on this.
Yeah, we'll work on it off air. This is good. This is a great idea, though. Even if it's not next month or the fall, it needs to happen soon.
Eventually,
enough.
We need to do a broadcast from the ballpark. That would be a good time because you see, it's funny. Tuesday the 19th, Wednesday the 20th, 6 o'clock both days, and those are the same. That's like the first four. Those are the first 2 days of the first four.
Right.
So they'll probably be playing. At least I got a chance to watch that, but.
Maybe postseason for Southwest Baseball, Steve. The stakes are high.
They are high. Do a little playoff action?
Yes. I'm in. I'm like 110% in on this.
Did you play Southwest Baseball when you were
a kid? No, but I can relate to Alberto to the sense that my dad coached me in like every sport all the way growing up. So it was like flag football, basketball.
Really?
I played regularly like every spring, summer, fall. And it was a big thing. It was
big
deal.
And now with our broadcast ease, I mean, look at how we took care of Teich on Monday when he when they couldn't get their Ethernet line, it was down. Said no problem. We just took our unit out there, our portable unit. And next thing you know, you could broadcast from anywhere.
You know, I think one day you're going to say, Adrian, you know, I'm just not feeling it. Can we do it from my house one day? Let's do it from my couch.
That was COVID.
Yeah,
I did that every day for a year. You know what's really cool, though? And I've been saying this forever. We should have a contest where we give the opportunity to broadcast the show live from a listener's house. We should absolutely set that up, where we just set up the show and we go live from either the living room or the backyard of a random listener's house sometime, and we set that whole thing up. Because that would be so easy. It'd be so easy to do. Then the listeners can invite friends. They can have a big party around it, and we can just have, maybe we can get some restaurants to come and cater, and next thing you know, we got a huge bash going at one of our listeners' house.
Yeah, this needs to happen for sure. I mean, I'm just thinking in my head, like, some of our regular callers, Luis, who says shalom all the time, he said that he wants to invite us to his house and have his family cook for us and stuff like that, so that would be hilarious. Imagine the Gator Richard household.
Oh my God.
And, you know, the trolling that we would get from Gator Richard if we were ever invited there.
What if we went live from like, we could do so many people. Orly.
Yeah, Orly would feed us.
He would.
Or he would have an opinion on the catering for sure.
Imagine if we went live from Hunter Pennypacker's house.
Yes.
What that would be like. We could also go from Jaime Pinky's house, because you said that earlier.
This.
That would be big. I mean, we got a lot of people we could go at. I mean, that's just, and you know, it could be anybody. Like, we have a contest, and maybe we ask listeners why we should bring sports talk to your home and give us a good answer in, like, 200 words or less why you think sports talk should go live from your house. And then we just make it happen, and we set the whole broadcast up from somebody's home.
Yeah, I think you and I could do this. We could actually get a restaurant involved. They could sponsor
it
all. We could have it to where it's a real big deal. They get to, the person who's hosting us gets to eat. We get to eat, talk about the food.
I'll get Dead Beach to bring beers.
There we go.
And we're done.
Oh, man. This is excellent.
I mean, it's a simple deal. It's a
show
simple idea.
Road.
Yes. And then what if we get a bunch of sponsors and they all come in and they set up little booths and tables in the house? So now all of a sudden, not only do we have the radio show going there, but now we got vendors going on and they've got different things that they're going to be pushing during the broadcast. And we've turned the sports talk into some crazy traveling road show.
Oh, man, I'm ready. The Oscar ID at the agency will hand out sunglasses.
Yes.
Wind Supply El Paso joining in on something like this.
You betcha. We'll be giving out those old El Paso Rhinos 600 ESPN El Paso decals that are 11 years old that we still have a big stack of at the radio station with the schedule from the 2012-2013 Rhino season. Yeah, I've got some of those I can give out as well. We got all sorts of goodies.
Yeah.
Cool. You'll come up with those Minor Talk shirts that you put together and you print it, and we'll give those out too.
Yeah, we have those koozies for KLAQ in the back too. We could have some excellent stuff going
Seriously, we should do the Sports Talk Spring Bash from broadcasting live from somebody's house. I think that is a great idea. Not to take away from Southwest Baseball and a playoff broadcast. We'll do that. That's a done deal. But I love the idea of putting together a contest where somebody, one of our P1 listeners, will win sports talk at their home. I just think that's such a what a great idea that would be.
Man.
How have we not done this already?
How have we not done this? And I've got a perfect day for it. We could do it on Thursday, March 28th, opening day. For baseball.
Ooh.
Enjoy some baseball with a listener. Hang out either in their man cave, backyard, living room, wherever they want to set us up. We'll come in with all our gear, equipment, which isn't a lot, and we'll make it happen. Something like that.
I think the Chihuahuas have that. Don't they play that night?
I think they do.
I think that's their opening day.
That's
correct.
If
I'm not mistaken. So let me check something out here real quick. That could be a Chihuahuas broadcast, and if that's the case, we have to see what time, you know, we wouldn't be able to do a full three-hour show at somebody's home. We'd have to probably go a little short, unless they start, in the Pacific time zone, which I doubt.
6:30. Steve, here's some breaking news. None that day. They start things off the 29th on Good Friday. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes, according to our KRD schedule.
That's right. So the 28th is an open date. That means we could go, yes, we could go full 3 hours on the 28th.
That would be amazing. And celebrate baseball's opening day, something like that. Mm. Something really fun.
I feel like that's that could very well happen. Unless, and wait a minute, the 28th, probably not. I'll tell you why. Sweet 16.
Yeah,
That I think is the Sweet 16.
Yeah, every Thursday. I mean, this is just a programming note to all our listeners. Every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can anticipate to hear some March Madness and some NCAA tournament action on this station.
Yeah, I think so too. Brian from downtown wants it. He said live from Brian downtown's camera museum. So he's in on it. You know what I mean? He wants that show.
We could talk some arena, talk some Dodgers.
Yeah.
With Brian, I think that'd be great.
Yep. I like that. Anyway, all right. I think we're on to something. I do. I feel like we're on. I feel like if we did a contest like this, you know what? Here's the question. Put a poll up on Twitter and X and just say, would you like Sports Talk to broadcast live from your home? Yes or no? And then any kind of feedback they want, we go from there. And that way we take a poll and we see. Because the truth is that if 90% say no, we're not doing it. But if it's overwhelmingly, if it's a resounding yes, then I feel like, you know what, we should put this together.
Yes.
We really should.
You know,
we can get sponsors.
It would be hilarious if somebody was like, yeah, definitely. And then they win, and it's like, they're like, okay, actually, you got to do it in my room. Like, my family says that they're using the living room. We're having some stuff in the backyard. You got to do it in this small little room, which would be kind of hilarious, right?
It would be. But I think if we do this right, this should be like the biggest party ever. Like, in other words, if we're coming, us and then 50 of your best, you know, your friends and family members, and we just make a big, big celebration out of it. Now, it wouldn't be easy because it's going to be on a weekday. That's difficult. But maybe we do it like on, you know, we could always do it on a Monday, which there's no baseball game that night, so we can go the full show. Or potentially, maybe we do it on a Friday, and you get home from, you know, you start TGIF, you get it done early, and there you are, and all of a sudden, we're set up, and the show's live.
Yeah, I think Friday kicking off the weekend, something like that, that'd be a lot of fun.
I do, too. All right.
Make this happen.
Put the poll question up. I do. I feel like Sports Talk Live from somebody's backyard or living room or even, you know, it could be a man cave. Hey, that's another thing. We broadcast live from the man cave. But I feel like if we're going to do this the right way, Adrian, we need to be at a spot that brings in the largest number of people that we could possibly bring into it, don't you?
Yeah, so if you're if you say yes, but you don't have the biggest space, no problem. Just make sure you have somebody or some space that we could go to. So if you have a family member or something, hey, I won this contest with Steve, Adrian, and Sports Talk, and they're going to take the show on the road.
What if we did a block party?
Oh my goodness!
And we take a giant giant extension cord. We set up in like the front patio or front street or sidewalk of somebody's house, and we do a whole patio party. And we call it the block party, and we just go from there.
Yeah, and then now we can really talk about vendors and booths and stuff like that. And then we can encourage the local lemonade stands to come out too.
I like that. They can sell Girl Scout cookies. We'll do the whole thing. That is perfect. All right, I feel like we're onto something here.
Yes, I do too.
Good brainstorming session that just randomly started the show today. This was not planned, folks. We were just talking about going live, you know, on location from a Little League baseball game. Next thing you know, it turns into this. So that's the beauty of this program. That's what I love so much about Sports Talk. All right. Jay Jaffe coming up. Jeff Erickson as well. Alberto here for the ride along with Adrian. Let's get going. Charlie One here as our first traffic update. Let's find out how El Paso's doing on this chilly, windy afternoon. 21 past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. Back with us right now is a man who talks baseball and drinks beer. So many of us do that, right? But not like Jay. Jay Jaffe from Fangraphs.com. He's got a chat that was up from yesterday. Some great articles on Cody Bellinger. Also wrote about Cody Senga and the Mets, Giancarlo Stanton, and something I really like, the weakest positions on National League contenders, the 2024 edition. By the way, Jay, welcome back to the show. Do you also handle the American League, or is that one of your counterparts?
Yeah, the American League's in progress. It'll run, planning to run it tomorrow.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, listen, it has been a good week. We've got now, essentially players getting signed, although it's still taking a while. Games going on as well, which I feel pretty pretty confident about. Shohei Ohtani hit his first home run for the Dodgers, and his teammate Yamamoto took the mound and was impressive in his spring debut. So all is right with the world, Jay. Baseball's back.
Yeah, it's good to see the games happening, and like you said, those first looks of Ohtani and Yamamoto in the Dodgers uniforms is pretty cool. Elsewhere around the league, we're seeing other guys in their new uniforms as well. Exhibition season in full swing here. So, it's still only February. None of this means anything, but right, it's just good to have as background patter, if nothing else. And it warms the living room or wherever you're watching just a little bit to see baseball.
Still saw that Blake Snell's still out there, even though Bellinger signed. Some good free agents remain. I know this morning on First Take, Mad Dog and Stephen A. went on this discussion. They both blamed agents for the state of Major League Baseball free agency. You tell me, do you agree with them?
I'm never going to agree with those two clowns. of course, agents are part of this. But these guys are at a critical point in their careers. They have every right to try to get every dollar that they can. And, even it's late February here. If they sign tomorrow, if they sign even next week, they're still probably going to be on track for opening day. I don't blame them for trying to figure out, the best deal for themselves, both in the short term and the long term. You've got agents for this. I mean, that's what Scott Boras does. He gets you the best deal if it takes longer than other guys' deals do. That's still why you're hiring him, is because you're going to get that. And you can look at the Cody Bellinger deal. Reportedly, he wanted $200 million to $250 million as a top end. That may not have been realistic, and maybe it was Scott Boras that talked him down from that and into accepting this what I think is still a pretty favorable 3-year deal with opt-outs after the first and second years. Of course the agents are involved, but it's not like they are controlling this. They're going to do what the player wants. And ultimately, it's the player's decision. The agent's just trying to put him in the best position to get the most value and to get, or whatever else it is that they want out of that contract.
Yet, you still look at who's left. Snell is still on the market. Jordan Montgomery, Matt Chapman is on the market. J.D. Martinez is still there. Those are really the biggest names that are out there. There's plenty of other lesser names that at this point are still on the market, but those could all be big-time contenders, or at least additions for contenders.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, any one of those guys has the opportunity, I think, to swing a middle-of-the-pack team into a much stronger position just by their addition, whether it's, whether it's Snell at the front of a rotation or Chapman shoring up third base for somebody. Montgomery, we just saw what Montgomery could do. He was a postseason hero for the Rangers. These are all very good guys. J.D. Martinez really had a nice rebound with the Dodgers last year. I mean, he's limited defensively, but dude can hit, and working with his old batting coach, the guy who helped him change the course of his career by changing the arc of his swing with the Dodgers really paid off, and it was a great stop for him.
If I had to guess where Snell will end up, I still think he's going to end up in pinstripes when it's all said and done.
I don't think so. I mean, I think you look at the marginal cost there, and it's going to, every dollar they spend on him is going to be result in at least another dollar in competitive balance tax. I think there's probably a West Coast fit for him. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if it's the Giants, who really, I think, need to solidify that rotation a little bit more and help themselves into better position in that NL West race or wild card race or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty accurate. Meanwhile, with Bellinger going back to the Cubs, the Cubs are one of those teams where, look, they're not on the Dodgers level. We know that. And there's other teams that are still better than them on paper, but they were fun last year. I felt like with their young influx of talent that they have at so many key positions, a vet like Bellinger, who benefited from the shift and really, you know, starting to see what he's capable of doing again, it's a nice addition, and probably it's a great fit for him as well.
Yeah, there are a lot of moving parts on that Cubs team. They've got versatile guys. Bellinger himself is versatile. He can play any outfield position. He can play first base. They have a good center field prospect in Pete Crow Armstrong, who is a former Mets prospect, or former Mets draft pick, actually, traded in the Javi Baez deal, who debuted late last year but needs some more minor league seasoning. When he comes up, they can move Bellinger around a bit, and getting both of those guys in the lineup should help, but it gives them a lot of options to get the best matchup on any given day if that's what it comes to. Guys like Christopher Morel and Patrick Wisdom and Michael Bush also affected by this move. Some good, young, talented bats there that this is a nice problem for a manager to have, and Craig Counsell, the new Cubs manager, is one of the best. He did a great job in Milwaukee, and I'm eager to see what he does with the talent he has here.
Yeah, I am too. We're talking baseball right now with Jay Jaffe. Saw a story about Byron Buxton back in center field for the Minnesota Twins. That's good news. He's had knee surgeries in back-to-back years. Look, I feel like Byron Buxton is one of those guys that if you could ever just see the man healthy for a period of time, would easily become one of the most talented and entertaining players to watch. But, man, if there's one guy that ever since he was a prospect, injuries have just killed him since day one, it's been Buxton.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen like half season at a time. We've seen what he can do, and it's magnificent. And we've also seen him fall apart, and it's unfortunate. But there's no question, this guy's got incredible talent. He's donated parts of his body practically in the service of fielding baseballs and running out baseballs. And it's a shame how much time he's lost. But the Twins figured that if they kept him off the field last year, and let him heal, that they could maybe get more out of him down the road. And so I'm eager to see if that pays off here, because that could be a real shot in the arm for them.
Well, what were your thoughts on the Dodgers trade, which was, again, Manny Margot going to the Twins and then bringing Kike Hernandez back to a one-year deal?
You know, it's a pretty low impact move on the field. Manny Margot is a handy guy who would have fit in the short half of a platoon there, or effectively, and that's kind of what Hernandez does as well. But he's a little bit more versatile. He can play the infield and the outfield. Both of them have good reputations as clubhouse guys too. But I really thought that when Hernandez came back to the Dodgers last year, he gave them kind of a shot in the arm, morale-wise, and really sort of lifted them. And I think you read what the Dodgers say about him, and it's clear he is absolutely beloved in that clubhouse, and his word goes a long way. So I think that's a big deal for them.
More with Jay as we continue. We'll also dive into his latest effort on Fangraphs, talking again about the weakest positions on National League contenders. We'll do that right after Adrian, who's standing by with this bottom-of-the-hour SportsCenter update. Adrian, thank you very much. As we continue right now with Jay Jaffe, talking about the weakest positions on National League contenders, that is up right now at Fangraphs.com. You go position by position, and let's talk Padres, since we've got Chihuahua season starting in about a month from now as well. You go right to first base, and I agree with you there, Jay. I mean, Jake Cronenworth played first, and he struggled. He had probably the worst season of his big league career, and since the Padres don't really have a lot behind him right now or coming up through the minor league system at first base, it seems like that is probably a position that they might want to address at some point if Cronenworth doesn't come back and hit this year.
Yeah, it's, you know, they've I thought it was kind of a waste to move Cronenberg, who is an excellent second baseman and a versatile player, to first base, because the offensive expectations at first base are so much higher, and he was really a drag on that offense when he struggled last year. They've tried to make the whole team out of shortstops, as I joked elsewhere in the piece, you know, it's a problem with that they're trying to solve in the outfield as well by playing Jackson Merrill, their top prospect, in left field, where Jurickson and Profar, despite being a recent addition, does not forecast to be particularly impactful. So yeah, they've, you know, I think it would make sense for them to make a trade, maybe even Cronenworth, whom they've got on a long-term extension, and he's relatively affordable, to trade him somewhere that needs a second baseman and see if they can get a first baseman back.
Yeah, that's a good point. And by the way, I'm happy you mentioned the outfield, because not only do the Pods have a need in left with Merrill, like, experimenting there, but center field's also a spot that they don't have much right now in terms of talent. When you're dealing with Jose Azucar, who is a Chihuahuas vet, as really your center fielder with the most experience, it's hard to believe that two-thirds of the Padres' outfield, minus Tatis and Wright, is really shaky at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely a change. I mean, you know, the Juan Soto trade, which also sent Trent Grisham to the Yankees, really cleaned them out there. And you know, we know they've been cutting costs. They have not been active at the top end of the free agent market, and they're going through some changes there. They're going to have to find somebody to play out there, and the prospects they've got, for the most part, besides Merrill, are not impact prospects. I like the move to try Merrill out there, because our scouting team, our prospect experts, believe that he's probably not long for shortstop anyway. He's not he's not that strong a fielder, and so getting him to a position of need does make sense.
You just wonder if he has enough of a bat to play in the outfield. I think that's going to be the biggest key more than anything else.
Oh, definitely, and you know, the fact that he really doesn't have much in the way of upper level experience. He topped out at Double A, so as it is, it's a big lift if they were to ask him to start the season in the major leagues.
I'm looking at some of the other positions that you've got chronicled up at the website at Fangraphs.com, and it's very interesting. You got the Reds and the Cubs at catcher as the weakest positions there. You've also got the Cubs at first base, although if Michael Busch can actually find a regular spot after being a top prospect for so many years now in the Dodgers organization, I'm interested to see if Busch could kind of find a new home at first base with the Cubs.
Yeah, the knock on him is he's like a bat-only guy. Just doesn't really have a defensive position where he's a good fit. The Dodgers couldn't hide him at second base. They had plenty of talent to play there and to play other positions. First base is kind of a natural home for a lot of guys who are not particularly adept to field. Right now, he looks like he'd be a good bet for the Padres, actually, to go out and get. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he struggled when he played for the Dodgers last year, probably because he was always looking over his shoulder and he knew the opportunities wouldn't last very long. But it will be interesting to see, with the change of scenery, whether he can adapt.
I agree. Now, do you ever do anything along this line involving pitching rotations and just starting to look at which of the contenders just don't have a great 1-5?
You know, it's tough, and injuries make it so much harder. I mean, you know, between injuries and workloads, it's almost a futile exercise. So the way I do this, I focus on lineups. I have some other tricks up my sleeve for evaluating pitching staffs, which I may break out later on down the road.
All right, and you said tomorrow will come the American League version of this, so we'll do that as well. And that's all happening, folks, again, at Fangraphs.com. But let's wrap it up. Beer pick of the week, Jay. What are we going to talk about?
Okay, so my grocery store in my new neighborhood here has a lot of beers that don't turn up at my old grocery store. And one of them that I was really pleasantly surprised to find is one of my favorite dark beers. It's the Kostritzer Black Lager, which I'm sure I've talked about on this show before. And I'm always excited when I see it in on tap in a bar. But I don't think I'd ever bought a can of it at a grocery store before. I'd certainly bought them at some bars. But anyway, this was a four pack of 16-ounce cans here. This is a German Pilsner. It's dark and roasty. It really is. It's a nice session beer. I think it comes in about 5%, 4.8 or 5%. I forget which. A very pleasant lighter beer to drink, despite how dark it is. It's just a good session beer.
It's also a very cool can. Kostritzer is Kostritzer, and it's a black lager, as you mentioned. The 4.8 is exactly right, and it's nice. And by the way, black lagers are not nearly as popular in beer as we've seen so many of these other IPAs and also some of the other types of varieties of maybe lighter beers.
Yeah, it really is. It really is a nice style, and it's one of my favorites. And anytime I see one, I have to try it. So a lot of opportunities to do some experimenting with other beers here down the road, but that's the one that obviously caught my attention because of my familiarity with it.
Good stuff, Jay. Talk to you again right back here next week. Appreciate the time.
All right. Sure thing. Thanks.
Jay Jaffe, folks, as we continue on the program. 39 now past the hour on Sports Talk. We'll come back. Plenty more still to come. Jeff Erickson, less than an hour away to talk some fantasy sports as well. If you've got fantasy questions for Jeff, let's get those in at 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. But more in a moment right here, 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, start of hour number two is underway. The poll question up right now from 600 ESPN El Paso. Please vote. We need that vote. And here is why, okay? Our show, as we've put, is thinking of doing a listener contest to host Sports Talk at someone's home. What do you think of the idea? You have two choices. Yes, do the contest. The other choice, the other answer is no, dumb idea. Okay. And by the way, what would you do if we hosted Sports Talk at your house? That's what we want to know. You can reply, you can vote, you can do everything you want. We want listener interaction. In fact, the poll question is going to be up for a day. And be creative and clever, because the truth is, if enough people want to hear, want this to happen, we'll make it happen. Simple as that. We'll talk to our bosses, Kevin and Brad. We'll make this a go. And we might make this a big, big deal for you. A big deal. We don't know how we're going to do it. We don't know for sure all the details yet. But here's the really cool thing. We've got a sales meeting tomorrow at 8:30. We'll bring it up. And we'll make sure that we get good input from the bosses and see if this thing's going to happen. Because by 8:30, we'll have probably by then, 16, 17 hours of votes, and then we'll get a good idea. If nobody votes, nobody cares, it'll be a stupid radio idea that never went anywhere. But if it works, who knows? It's going to be a full-blown contest that you'll have a chance to get into here in the next few days.
Yeah, and actually, Steve, we've got multiple opportunities to hit the higher-ups and the brass. If we don't talk about it in our meeting tomorrow, you and I have a brainstorming meeting with our higher-ups tomorrow, too.
We do. And by the way, this was not on my original brainstorming plan. I have something else to do, but I like this idea, and I feel like if we spend a few minutes brainstorming this could be really good.
Yeah.
If the listeners want it. Because the truth is, if the listeners don't want it, we're not going to bother. We're not doing something just to do it. We want to do it because you demand it, you want it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and we've done some contests, I would say in the ballpark of this idea right here. We've done some with the ANA All the Way Foundation, mm-hmm. where people bid on becoming a guest host on this show. Shout out to Esteban for recently bidding on us and winning that one for Pinky, although he didn't stop by. And we've done that in the past, so this would take it to another level, Steve.
It would. By the way, yeah. Shout out to Esteban for bidding, winning, and no-showing to his own winning bid, but treating Pinky to spending an hour with us on air.
That was right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Chad Middleton, at Middlefingerton, says, you guys can come to my house. We can get some chickens and rabbits on air.
Ooh.
We can always bring the wireless setup to his chicken coop and get some live audio from how the chickens are laying eggs.
No fights though. No fights. No children or no chickens will get hurt in this one.
No. Let's just make sure we let PETA know that no animals will be harmed in the live broadcast of sports talk. Very important to mention that.
Yes, and some background music and noise from the chickens.
That's true. That is true. All right, so that poll is up right now. If you haven't had a chance to vote, please do and reply. I mean, who knows, man? If we get a good group of people voting, this would. And by the way, it's very possible that Cade McConnell will show up that day. You know, he's now our intern this spring, so Cade might be stopping by. Alberto will probably be running that program that day, so he could be actually here producing. But if somebody else produces, maybe Alberto shows up. Who knows who's just going to wind up at your home for a live sports talk? Maybe Joe Golding. Maybe Scotty Walden. Maybe Tim Haggerty. Who? John Teicher. There's so many different people that could just suddenly appear as a guest of the show at your home. And by the way, I almost guarantee you that if we're going to be at somebody's house, we will have guests come to your home for the program. Because if we're going to do it, we're doing it right. Maybe Lane Frank comes that day and you get a chance to meet the host of the Schoolyard Sports Podcast.
Yeah, we got a lot of friends who join us in our studios all the time. So now we just take the show on the road and have some real fun with it. So I think we need some feedback on this, what we need from this event. If it's at your house, how would you host us? Would you just, throw us on the couch and throw some TV trays in front of us, hand us a beer every hour or so?
Could be.
And just talk sports with us. Whatever your thoughts are, send it our way.
Yeah, and of course, listen. If we're going to do this and do this right, I mean, you got to have a good spread. Let's be honest. We'll cater it and do what we can in that regard. But some people might say, I don't want you catering it. I want to cook myself. I'm going to bring the grill out and the smoker, and we're going to do it the right way. Because that could happen. That could happen too. You realize that there's some excellent cooks and chefs in this city. And they might want to just have us enjoy their food while we're going to be there instead of us bringing food.
So let me ask you this. What if a listener wins and the listener has a business and asks us to stop by their office and do it from there instead? Is that allowed, or is it's got to be a home/apartment/townhome or something like that?
I mean, some people have work from home in their business. I mean, that's something we could do. I think we should have two contests. I think we should do the home contest, and then we'll do a separate business contest.
Yes.
Because I feel like, instead of combining the two, let's make them two different shows. We show up at your business one day, and then we do the broadcast also. And by the way, how great would it be if we just showed up unexpected? Like you voted on it, we choose you, we don't tell you when, and then we just arrive at 3:00 and tell you the show's happening that day. It was one of those ideas. So we'll probably give you some time to plan it. We don't want to just make it too unexpected. But yes, I love the idea. I think it's fun, and we can have some fun with it. You can have some fun with it, and it's the whole point. It really is. And your reaction, voting, and also giving us some replies on Twitter and X at 600ESPN El Paso will tell us if this idea really has a shot, or if this, again, will be some stupid idea that I came up with randomly and goes nowhere. I mean, I've had plenty of those over the last 28 years working at this radio station. Lots of dumb ideas. I'll give you more. I mean, you never know. They flow up pretty frequently out of my head, so we'll see what happens. But I've got a feeling, Adrian, this one could have some legs to it.
I think so, too. I really, man, I'm just telling you on this. This has an opportunity to be so much fun. You know, the one thing about this show, Steve, we don't get a chance to often, go out to the Northeast, go out to Central El Paso, go out to the far west side, go out to the east side at times. We do it during the football season with Border City Ale House, but it's always fun to take a little field trip here of sports talk and do it in a different part of the city.
That's true, too. That is true. All right, let's go to Eddie in Fort Bliss. He's going to join us next at 10 past the hour as Sports Talk continues. 505-6009. Eddie, what's going on? How are you?
Grilling with the guys and girls. So, like you're saying, have a grill, put it somewhere. Unfortunately, this year, Cinco de Mayo falls on a Sunday. But maybe you could do would St. Paddy's Day be on one of the tournament days?
I'd have to check out what day that is. I'd have to look and see. It's possible.
That's a Sunday too. Never mind, that wouldn't work. But something in that area where you could turn it into kind of a holiday/event opening day, like you were saying earlier, although opening day does fall in that time frame, but maybe even Jackie Robinson Day, maybe even Earth Day.
How about this? How about just a random day? You know, it's kind of like the whole idea about flowers on Valentine's Day. Some people don't want that. They want you to bring flowers on a normal day where there's nothing to celebrate. You know what I mean? So sometimes it doesn't have to necessarily be on a given day that we you know, observe or something. We can make it on a random day. It could be a Monday. It could be a Friday. It could be any day. I mean, it's the beauty of a live broadcast. We'll give you notice. We'll give you plenty of time to try to plan something fun. And who knows? Maybe we even collaborate with the winner and we discuss what day could work out best for everybody involved.
Remember 10 or 12 years ago, you guys did a promotion with Border City Ale House with the Home Run Derby contest with wiffle ball?
I do, and I still have wiffle ball bats and balls from that contest in the storeroom in case we ever do that again.
Maybe. Okay. Well, I was going to say, because that, I know that it kind of didn't work out too well, but maybe have some kind of, like you were saying, block party, where I know in my neighborhood we've got a little park where you could do some kind of block party, have, like, something for the kids as well at the same time.
Let me tell you something. That party worked out okay, believe it or not. There was actually people that came out to swing the wiffle balls, and we played in the parking lot. And although we didn't have a designated diamond because it was played out in the Hudson's parking lot at the time, it was still that was fun. We enjoyed that. And, you know, I'd love to bring back Home Run Derby for wiffle ball again on Sports Talk. It's another good idea. I'm telling you, there you go. You're dusting off a nice gem that we did years ago. I like it.
And one last thing. Remember last week we were talking and you said Yamamoto was somebody you were looking forward to seeing?
Yes.
Did you see kind of the highlights today?
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance to, but I heard he looked really impressive, which is great.
Three strikeouts. He looked as advertised today.
Well, I mean, you know, he is a polished pitcher, and I think the Dodgers are going to benefit in a huge way. And yeah, I'd be very excited right now if I'm a Dodger fan. I mean, the last couple of years have been exciting, but I feel like this offseason with Ohtani and Yamamoto, taking it to a new level.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for getting in today. We'll talk
to you. Good one.
All right, Eddie. Good to hear from you. 13 past as Sports Talk continues. 505-6009. By the way, this comes from Bovine Fecal Matter on Twitter. Yes, I'm down, even if it was a surprise. No, and listen, we're not going to – I was being kind of stupid. I mean, we're not going to just show up and surprise you and just randomly come at your house or business with a whole setup and say, hey, everybody, here we are. No. It'll be plenty. We want people there. We want to make this a spectacle, make it a show. So we're going to give you plenty of notice so you can plan it, we can plan it, and we can make it happen. That's simple as that.
You know, if we did it at, like, my parents' house, my mom would, like, serve us some green enchiladas and stuff like that and have a whole spread for us and stuff. So I'm just hoping that we would have some kind of love like that from somebody else, and they'd think, oh, here, I'm going to bust out, like you said, the grill, and we're going to do something like that. I loved Eddie's idea about grilling and stuff. So I think there's some good thoughts here. There's some good stuff.
I feel like this has a chance. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but we're in favor of it. We love the idea. And by the way, as far as the voting public so far, we've only had 13 votes. I was really hoping we'd have closer to 50 by now, but this is interesting, okay? Of the 13 votes, 54% say yes, do the contest. 46% no, dumb idea.
So I want to hear from the dumb idea people. I really do. Why is this, like, how can we make it to a good idea if it's a dumb idea?
Well, I don't know. I always thought that people, like, that are listening to a radio would love to have a radio show at their house. I mean, you know, that's just, that doesn't happen very often. I'm actually surprised that people think that broadcasting the program from their home is a bad idea. I'm going to tell you this. I dreamed of broadcasting from my house forever. And sadly enough, it took COVID for that to happen. Because when we were told we can't go to the radio station, I originated the broadcast from my backyard. We had people come by. Tim Haggerty showed up that day. And I'm telling you something. It was great. Little did I realize I was going to broadcast for the next year from my house. But that was what happened during COVID. We stayed home. And you know what? Loved that first broadcast because we set up outside, did the show out there. And I thought it was a load of fun. But you know what, Adrian? this might not be for everybody. Maybe this is one of these ideas we thought would be a great idea, but it turns out people just don't care or don't want us. And if that's the case, hey, I'm very happy and content broadcasting live every week from the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Properties Schoolyard Sports Studios.
Me too. This is home. This is where we originate. Everything is familiar to us here, so we're fine just being here. No problem at all.
Yep.
We're also fine being at some great, fine establishments and businesses. But, Steve, when you were talking about the pandemic broadcast, I got a little, like, squirmy thinking about reading live KBO scores or the Bundesliga scores because there was nothing to talk about by month 3, 4, and 5.
Thank God for the Don Haskins radio show replays that we played from 2006 to 2008.
Thank God for yes, all of those, all the guests who said yes and they joined us ahead of those. So yes, because if not, I don't know what we would have done to fill 3 hours.
But you want to know something? If we can get through COVID, we can get through anything.
Anything.
Simple as that. All right. When we come back, Jeff Erickson, a little fantasy talk. We'll do that right after Charlie One, who has this traffic update for us. Football, basketball, a little bit of everything, folks. They do college hoops, they do golf, they do EuroLeague, MMA, NASCAR, college football, even though it's in the offseason, WNBA. I mean, you name it, they've got it. And that is why it is your one-stop shop for all fantasy sports. Talking to the one and only Jeff Erickson. Welcome back, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well, Steve. Middle of baseball draft season already, so life is good.
How are your drafts going so far? Give me the good and the bad.
Good. It's going to start really picking up soon, but I had a slow draft that is going on right now. Did a live draft last week. It's a lot of fun. Going to start traveling in about 2 weeks for my draft, so excited about that as well. So far, so good. I've avoided like the Kodai Senga whammy and things of that nature.
I know you also did a live stream a little while ago, a few days ago, on Twitter and X, talking about the best relievers to target in fantasy drafts. I saw that on my feed.
That's the live stream is in conjunction with the podcast. So those who want to kind of chime in while we're recording, you know, we have a live stream going as well, and we often, you know, we'll take your questions, you know, respond to your comments, things of that nature.
The articles are really good too. I like what you're doing. You've profiled the job battles. You've also profiling some of the pitching, which five are confusing projection systems. Good stuff up there. The farm futures as well for relief pitching prospect rankings. That's got to be the toughest of all the prospects to really rank relievers.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, role is so important with them. It's one thing to just identify how good they are. It's another, you know, how good their stuff is, how well they've pitched so far. It's another to guess, A, how they're going to be used, and B, like how well will they pitch when they're in a tight pressure situation, because sometimes that's often different than, you know, normal otherwise.
Did you get a chance to see Yamamoto today?
I saw some of the highlights. Looked pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because what was a bigger anticipated debut? Yamamoto today or Ohtani's first game with the Dodgers?
Ohtani, for sure. Yamamoto's huge. Anticipated by whom? By me? Probably Yamamoto. But
yeah.
Ohtani, on a worldwide scale, is probably a bigger, just because he's the biggest name in the planet, really, when it comes to baseball.
I almost feel like for fans... Fans would probably go the Ohtani route, but fantasy baseball players, we know what Ohtani's going to do. Yamamoto is the one that we're interested in.
Yeah, especially this year because we know Ohtani's not going to pitch, right? So next year, you know, when he comes back on the mound, that's going to be like, oh, wow, that's huge. It's definitely a Yamamoto in terms of like the uncertainty factor there.
Yeah, it's true. And then we're already seeing injuries. Sadly enough, you mentioned Kodai Senga a little while ago. That is a big time hit for the Mets. Their ace goes down. We don't know when he will be back right now. And sadly, there will probably be at least another half dozen teams going through the same process in some way, shape, or form over the next month.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what's funny is I feel like we've been a little light on the injuries so far.
Mm-hmm.
And that's knocking on all the wood in the world.
Don't jinx it, Jeff. Don't jinx it.
I know, right? I just got to knock on a whole forest for to get enough wood there. But, I think that it's these first couple weeks are the most treacherous because it's especially with pitchers, and they're ramping back up to speed. They're throwing harder, they're throwing longer, they're introducing more breaking pitches, trying out new pitches at full capacity or something close to. I've always read like Will Carroll. I don't know if you ever spoken with him, but he writes Under the Knife, really good baseball injury guy, and he always talks about that first couple of weeks as just being like that critical time.
I want to go deeper into one of your articles, not that you wrote, but on the website, and what you Corbin Young talked about this, and he mentioned players who are confusing projection systems. Now, let's kind of explain to listeners, first off, how these projection systems get developed in the first place, and then why sometimes you kind of look at a projection and you think, no, there's no way. They're either going to exceed that or, that's a little too that's being a little too generous.
Well, often it's, because projection systems are often backwards looking, right? You're looking at what the player has done. You're looking for similarity in types, and some pitchers are different than everybody else. Like Yuri Perez, there's been since 2010, we've seen 14 pitchers at his age record the strikeout minus K percentage that he has. It's a very small set of group there. He's an elite level talent, but he was also shut down a lot last year too. So like, what sort of projection, playing time projection, are you going to go for here with him? He hasn't had huge innings in the past, and they shut him down last year. You also look at, like, he struggled with one particular pitch, the four-seamer. So that's something that's a little bit tricky there, too. Other players, it's changing. It's almost always young guys for the most part here. Christian Javier is about as old as it gets. Or guys that change roles, like Michael King. Is another one there. Mason Miller, it's not in the article, but he's another guy I'm confused on this year because, he's switching to relieving, but not even closing yet, but he might close at some point.
Yep.
These are guys that are going to be confusing for automated systems or and maybe not automated, but you know what I'm saying, like a model, if you will.
No, that's true. It's a fun story, though, and that's up right now at rotowire.com. And by the way, there are some projections that you create, and it's kind of interesting. I always wonder, when you do the projections for some of the players on the website, do you use computer algorithms? Do you just use your head? Do you use a combination of both? How do you do it, Jeff?
Start off with three-year weighted averages as a starting point for everybody, and then we work from there. And, that's a baseline, but there's so many changes after that. There's playing time changes. There's ballpark changes. Yeah. And the thing is, we've had so many other changes too in the baseball environment that, just using, backwards looking data is not good enough. This is the first year that we don't have a major rule change implemented or a major other change, whether it's a lockout or COVID or the happy fun ball or anything like that. Because of that, it should be our stable data set for the first time in a long time. Hopefully that remains the case.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, again, we talk about spring training, a week old. Some players haven't debuted yet. Others have. I mean, you tell me, are there any really good early storylines out of Florida and Arizona that suddenly have your attention where they might not have a week ago?
Chris Sale. I'm looking for a healthy season out of him. Really caught my eye yesterday with that performance, 4 Ks in 2 innings. We know he misses bats. That's what he does. But I'm happy to see him working at full capacity to start. His teammate Ken Giles also today had a splashy spring training debut. Giles has been out of the game for almost 5 years, I think. And he came in and he struck out the side against some pretty good bats against the Phillies. So I'm excited to see him, see if he can do something back. He's probably not going to close, but if Raisel Iglesias gets hurt, that's another option for them there.
You never know. It's always nice to have good insurance. And by the way, if there's one thing the Braves have a ton of, it's arms. I mean, they're like the Dodgers. I just feel like if somebody goes down, next man up.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the thing is, they're stockpiling the arms just so that, because they have that stable lineup, They just have to figure out how to make the pieces fit for like the number of arms. And a lot of them are prospects. A lot of them, other ones are just guys that are like Giles that are reclamation projects. They're trying to find some other ways to go ahead and augment their pitching staff, because let's face it, they're going to score a ton of runs this year. The question is, what's their run prevention going to be like? Because that was what held them back last year.
No doubt. More with Jeff as we continue. By the way, you have the best guard dog of all of our guests on Sports Talk. your guard dog is top notch, man. I'm sure the whether it's the deliveries from Amazon or the post office guys, they must be afraid going to your house.
He's a classic internet bully, Steve. He's tough behind a closed door. But you know, all he does is bark. He's a good guy though. You know, we like him. But no one's ever gonna like surprise us and sneak up on us. That is for sure.
What's your dog's name?
His name is Harley.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on Harley, that's for sure. He is the MVP of the Erickson household today, and I love that. We'll come back more in a moment, but first let's go over to Adrian and get this SportsCenter update. As we keep things moving right now, we've got Jeff Erickson with us from rotowire.com. It is your one-stop shop for all fantasy sports. If you want to learn more, you can just go to RotoWire, and they've got some great stories up right now. I've been checking out James Anderson's Farm Futures, where he's ranking all the relievers, but a lot of good stuff up right now at RotoWire.com. Meanwhile, as far as your drafts are going, are you starting to, like, is your early strategy that you kind of want to start to own certain players and you're trying to get them in as many leagues as possible right now?
You know, sometimes that's true with the, mid to late rounds. Early rounds, a lot of it depends on draft position, right? I am angling myself to try to get into certain draft pockets, yes. I think one thing, and also I think specialty, like closers, catchers, that's where I'm starting to find where I find repeat guys. Like I'm getting Paul Sewald on the Diamondbacks a lot because I'm not getting the first five closers. I'm getting the next five, maybe even the next 10. Because that's the way I've decided I want to draft a lot this year. So I am finding that those things that I'm comfortable with.
You know what's funny? When it comes to that, like I've built my team, and Adrian, we play in the same league, right? And it's really kind of interesting because Adrian has, I think, taken more of the younger approach with prospects. And, he has, guys like, he's had guys like Gunnar Henderson on his roster over the years. And now he's trying to load up. He wants pitchers. He wants to make some trades. And he's not afraid to deal for some established arms. And yet here I am, and I feel like in these dynasty leagues, I've got a little bit of everything. I've got a Marcus Semien playing second base, but then I've got a Francisco Alvarez behind the plate. So, and an Anthony Volpe at shortstop with a Gavin Lux. So little youth, little risky,
sure.
Some production. It's kind of fun when you build these teams up.
Yeah, and with your route there too, there's some sustainability to it. The fact is you've got, the current wave that are, our veterans that are your solid, foundation pieces, and you got some young, exciting upside guys too. That'll be part of your next wave. I mean, that could be that productive this year too, which is nice. I mean, that's the whole thing is like you'll have some guys that you can kind of build around for the long term too.
But when do you know enough is enough, Jeff? Because some of these guys I've hung on to for a while, and I'm like, man, is it time to quit? And then other guys I've let go a little early and thought, nah, I needed a quicker fix at this. And now I'm looking at it a year or 2 years after the fact and regretting giving up on some of these prospects as early as I did.
Yeah, fantastic question, and I'll tell you, there's no simple formula, but you can do the whole give up too soon, or you can do the worst, just as bad as like thinking you have a chance to go for it and making a bad trade. In a score sheet league, which is a simulation style game, I once traded away Aaron Judge after he struck out like 50% of his at bats after his first call up for basically the last year of Jose Bautista's career, thinking I had one more chance to go for it. I still am paying for that trade, I feel like, there. I missed out on Aaron Judge's whole good career because of that, too. Because this is one where we keep players in perpetuity, too. So giving up on a prospect there, man, it's costly when you get that evaluation wrong.
What if the lesson is trust prospects on winning teams or good teams and just, hope for the long game with that?
That's not a bad idea. I mean, trust teams that are good at developing them, that's for sure. Trust the Rays, trust the Guardians, trust the Dodgers when it comes to pitchers, and be a little bit more patient with them.
Yeah, I was going to even add the Braves to that list too, right? Because they've been they have so many young arms that come through, and the only thing is there's certain teams that just don't do well with young pitchers. Have you found that there are certain teams where it seems like every good young arm always gets hurt or just doesn't pan out?
Oh, I know you're a Mets fan, so this hurts you when we talk about this. But the young guns, man. Go back to Paul Wilson, Jason Isringhausen, that class.
Bill Pulsifer.
Pulsifer. I mean, it hurts when that doesn't work out. And then sometimes you turn around and you get, you know, a class that works out pretty well. I mean, the Mets have had a young gun class with Seaver, Ryan, those guys. We're going to go way back in the way back machine. But, yeah, it's some teams don't get it. Some teams, the Reds forever couldn't develop young pitching. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit better about that now. And ballpark matters, too. You know, it's really hard to develop a young starter in Coors or in Cincy or in any other launching pad.
I agree. But then again, you look at a team like the Rangers, and they've got guys like Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter coming up, getting ready to produce. I mean, if you're a Rangers fan, you just came off of your first World Series title, and now the future looks so bright with so many terrific young players coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. The Rangers and the Dodgers are scary because they're rich, and they spend, and they're development machines. And that's really frustrating. Right? And somehow, the Rangers, they won the World Series. They also drafted Wyatt Langford last year. I mean, think about that. I mean, that they had a bad year in 2022, but that's why they got the high draft pick. But, man, you get a guy like that in the draft, and he's already going to be like projected to be and maybe break camp with the team, if not with the team right away, then pretty short order. I mean, that's the rich getting richer right there.
We're excited because here in El Paso, during the course of the season, assuming they don't break camp with the team, we could see guys like Jackson Merrill, Ethan Salas, Robbie Snelling, possibly Drew Thorpe opening up in the El Paso rotation. I mean, it's pretty cool to see that this is probably the year, the first time in a while, that the Padres could have some legitimate prospects coming up through El Paso.
Yeah, your problem has been that too many of them have skipped El Paso, and that's because they've had lots of prospects, or they got traded away before they got there.
Exactly.
You know, the Padres had one of the best farm systems in baseball 3 years ago, but they spent it all, going for it, which, by the way, you want to applaud them for going for it there, but alas, you missed out on all those guys that went to the Nats, for instance.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes it's interesting when you going for it, I agree, but sometimes you can't just go for it to go for it. You got to try to make strategic moves, and you never know when they're going to pan out. And when certain players, like, look, Eric Hosmer just retired. He bombed in San Diego. Same thing goes for Will Myers, who they acquired and then gave a nice big contract to. So sometimes you never know when teams are going to make the right gamble or the wrong gamble.
Yeah, I think everybody first guessed on the Eric Hosmer contract. It was like, hey, San Diego is almost like there are conspiracy theories out there that the league was making San Diego spend some money, any money, anyhow, somehow.
It's true. All right, let's talk about what you've got going on right now with the draft kit at rotowire.com. I got the email earlier in the morning letting me know about the latest additions to the draft kit. It just keeps growing and growing, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It kind of mirrors the industry that there's so many different ways to play the game. Dynasty leagues are so much more important now. There's lots of different ways to play, so we have to have a lot more tools. And we got a mock draft simulator there that you can try out there. You can see based on ADP, projections, things of that nature. You can practice from every slot. Use that with our draft tool. It's one of the things that we could do that we offer there to help you get ready for your leagues.
Are you heading to spring training at all over the next month?
No, I'm not. I don't frequently do that. The reason for that is it's just, I'm not a scout, first of all. So I'll trust the word of others, and I can watch. And there's a lot of spring training games available to me on TV that I can catch and just the reports. But I do a lot of travel otherwise. So, no, I won't be going to spring training games this year. Maybe next, maybe in 2 years when my younger daughter's off to college, then one more trip. Well, doesn't put a tax on the family then.
Is she going to ASU by any chance?
No, probably not. Okay. But we'll see. just had a meeting with college counselor today to kind of get some ideas of what some good targets should be and all that. Wide open world for her, and I have another one that's at Loyola Marymount, so which is in L.A. So, we'll see. We'll see where they land up.
Terrific stuff. Jeff, as always, great stuff. Appreciate the conversation. Say hi to Harley for us, and we'll talk to you back here next week.
Fantastic. Thanks, Steve.
All right. He's Jeff Erickson, folks, joining us on Sports Talk. Come back to wrap up hour two in a moment. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues here on 600 ESPN El Paso.